This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:49 right now, coming up to 7:50. It's Wednesday, March 8th. Today we are celebrating International Women's Day. So on the Breakfast Grill, we have a charitable organisation trying to address the welfare and needs of women and children. I will be speaking to Tan Sri Rafia Salim, President of Pertubuhan Wanita Islam Malaysia, better known as Pertiwi. Now, Tan Sri Rafia is really interesting because she herself personally has broken many barriers for women in Malaysia, appointed Assistant Secretary General for HR Management at the United Nations in New York, the first such Malaysian to be appointed to a high post in the UN. She's also the first woman vice chancellor here in Malaysia. She was the vice chancellor of University of Malaya. And quite interesting, the work that Pertiwi is doing, trying to address and champion women's and children's rights.
So you're going to ask her about the glass ceiling, I suppose?
I will be asking her and her personal experiences for this, but also, you know, things like what is the future of women's rights if, say, Act 355 is passed in Parliament sitting? So, I mean, all these things, it will make a difference to how women are perceived and women's rights are perceived and are acted upon. So lots to discuss on the Breakfast Grill today as we celebrate International Women's Day. But according to the latest report by Grant Thornton, Malaysia has the lowest proportion of senior business roles held by women in ASEAN. So there you go.
Yeah, so this kind of like is in line with this findings by the Minority Shareholders Watchdog Group, that the gender diversity status statistics for the top 100 companies in Malaysia doesn't show much difference or doesn't show much improvement in having females on boards of directors or executive directors. For EDs, for example, just 14 in 2016, higher by 2 from 2015. So, you know, the improvement is there. The trend line is intact, but it's not going as fast as is. Obviously, the Prime Minister wants a third of all corporate boards to have female directors by 2020.
Right.
But I just want to point out, because although we've got, you know, issues with, you know, with our respective faiths and social mores and all that kind of thing, we've had a number of high-level appointments which have been manned by females. You know, for example, with the central bank governor, previously Tan Sri Zetti, we've now named a female to the board of as chairman to the Maybank, you know, directorship. And we've also got a female as auditor general now. So, with a great number of high-level appointments, we have females.
Okay.
I mean, it's interesting that Russia, for all the bad press that it's getting today, tops the list of countries with 45% of senior roles held by women. And the second is Philippines with 39%. So, but, you know, my question is whether there should be such a gender focus, or should it be a meritocratic focus? Or is it that already a lot of women are very good on the merits but are being stopped from getting into positions of high power?
Well, personally, I am not for a gender quota for the 30% boards. I don't think quotas are the way to go for any reason. But I do think there needs to be more institutional support, more structural reform. And I think the only way to reach a target of 30% women on corporate boards is to get the buy-in of men. The way to do this is to get the men involved. And there's no way women can do it alone, for sure.
Well, I'm all for it.
Okay, there you go. All right, well, let's talk about another... that's on the Breakfast Grill. Just to remind you very quickly, Tan Sri Rafia, Rafia Salim will be on the grill coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But another woman in a government office, YB Nancy Shukri, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, she says that the final report of the Integrated Nuclear Infrastructure Review Mission Phase 1 will be tabled to Cabinet by the next week. Now, this is a three-phase assessment which is initiated by the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, and it concluded that Malaysia is thoroughly prepared and has developed a considerable base of knowledge to make an informed decision about introducing nuclear power.
Well, the advent or the possible advent of nuclear power into Malaysia is not new. I think Energy Minister Peter Chin at the time, Tan Sri Peter Chin, some years ago, wanted to introduce nuclear to Malaysia, obviously met with vehement objections. And then Fukushima happened with a tsunami, mm-hmm. and then all went to, you know, was rent asunder, because then countries like Germany, countries like Japan, and of course, you know, much of North America dialed back their nuclear ambitions. But what is clear is the fact that nuclear power, when harnessed correctly, can be extremely efficient and extremely clean. So this is pro and con divide between nuclear power, which I think we still find ourselves in today.
I think that environmental arguments may take a backseat if you consider that a lot of the pollution is coming from cars and transportation and even food production. Whereas you can't go about driving in your vehicle with a nuclear reactor behind your boot, right? You're still going to consume a lot of fossil fuels to run your cars. I know we're getting to electricity-powered cars very soon, and the nuclear reactor may come in quite handy. But from a marginal environmental impact, you know, coupled with the dangers and the safety aspects of nuclear power, I'm not sure if we should really jump head on into nuclear power. I think it's so scary. I mean, after having to worry about our devices being spy instruments, right? Now we have to worry about the possibility of a nuclear accident.
Look, I am for nuclear power. I think it's a cleaner option than fossil fuels. I think it's a more sustainable option than fossil fuels as well. But to be completely honest with you, my concern is in the implementation. As always with Malaysia, it's in the execution of things, right? With nuclear power, yes, there are huge risks. But I do think that my worry is if Malaysia can implement a certain level of quality of standard that can mitigate that risk. And my concern is sometimes we fall short of those standards.
Melissa, do you not think that the Japanese are some of the most meticulous people on
yeah,
Earth?
Yeah, but you see
Fukushima happened. You know, I read a news yesterday that the robots that are sent to clean up Fukushima actually dies. Right, these are robots.
How did they die?
I mean, they just malfunctioned. Right? They just malfunctioned.
And actually, you're right, because even though the Japanese are the Japanese, and you know what I mean, but you know, TEPCO.
Do you see how they wrap up each of their little cookie that you find in a carton with little pieces of plastic?
But that was also a natural disaster that happened because of an earthquake and a tsunami as well.
But it later emerged that Tokyo Electricity Power Generation Co. was actually was contributory negligence in its management of the nuclear facility.
Therein lies my concern, right?
Yeah.
Okay, is there a geopolitical aspect to this? Because nuclear waste, right? How do you get rid of them?
And you can never get rid of it.
Can you sell
years.
Them to other countries that can use those kind of waste to enrich their, I don't know, nuclear power plant, right? Should we take ourselves out of this zone of neutrality of not producing any nuclear, not having anything to do with nuclear at all?
But that's if the event actually happens and the disasters actually happen, which we don't want to get to that point. So, you know, the whole nuclear discussion right now centers on regulation and safety. And whether Malaysia, personally speaking, we have those kind of regulations in place.
I also think it centers around perception, because nuclear has a negative history.
Yeah, for example.
Historically,
so let me pose you this question, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You might be pro-nuclear in theory, but what if I told you that, you know, after having studied and evaluated all the possible sites, we're going to have a nuclear power plant in, say, Butterworth? Would we agree to it?
Not in my backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
What often happens with nuclear. Yeah. I would have to say this is an interesting debate and one that we will be watching closely, because we have 30 days to respond to the recommendations made by the report by the International Atomic Energy Agency. So let's keep a close eye on that. But since we're on the topic of energy, also in the news, petrol retailers apparently unaware of the new proposed policy to announce fuel ceiling prices on a weekly basis starting from next month.
Yeah, so this is basically the response from the association has been that it's going to cause price wars. And this, I guess, is just another fallout of where we stand on this whole energy issue. Because it's obviously detrimental to the environment, but it's also highly volatile, where oil prices, our gas prices, coal prices, everything's related. It all ends up at our doorstep at consumer level.
Okay, we've got the Breakfast Grill after the 8 o'clock news. Tan Sri Rafia Salim, President of Pertiwi, or Pertubuhan Wanita Islam Malaysia, will be on to celebrate International Women's Day. Stay tuned to the Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.